have to rot with Zombie Zach. Cookies!
We are Sex Bob-omb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff!
Voices, inner voices, the tremor of calm, the feminine abyss, and reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind.
Hello, world. I just want to go and say a few things right now, and I don't know what they're going to be as a result, because I'm looking to do a slightly different show today. I don't really know how it's going to end up. Oh, well, maybe it's going to be more of the same, because I'm in this whole kick of, there's a lot of Zen in the world, and then there's a lot of crap in the world, and then there's a lot of zombies. Wait, a lot of the people who think they're zombies aren't the zombies, but there's a lot of people who are the zombies think that they're not the zombies. They think they're actually the conniving people who are trying to get through the world, trying to get ahead in the world, trying to push the ever-loving bucket envelope past the threshold that sits in front of everyone. Everyone has that threshold. It's like everyone has that particular point in which they're trying to get ahead of the game and be better than the game, be better themselves, to not necessarily screw other people out of their entire world or whatever, but they want to just get ahead and be beer, gooder, better, funner, faster, we can rebuild him, all that other stuff. But I don't know. There's like a lot of people that keep saying that there are things out there in the world that is like evil and bad, and there are things out there, and it's like, well, we're going to fix those things. The zombie apocalypse will change the way everybody looks at the world, the way that everybody interacts with the world, the way that the world will interact with everybody. Zombie apocalypse will bring everybody closer. It will fix all of the problems. We got all this angry stuff going over in the Arab states and everything like that. That'll get fixed. We got all this angry stuff going on in the middle of the US. That will get fixed. Everybody will be part of the group collective of human survival, trying to just get along and just trying to be that whole state of humanity that says, we just want to be alive and kicking and all that stuff. And us zombies, we're going to help you get there, because we want you to exist in that kind of maternal instinct type thing. Just put it all in a big bundle of happy people over there. It's so going to be a much better world once my zombies start taking over, and once they put everybody puts me in charge of things, I will fix everything. All of this bad stuff, it'll just go away. Because it's like I don't know what kind of specific stick I'll use, but I'm sure I have a few available at my disposal to use whenever, however, whatever I like, and then I will fix the problems. Hi, EW, how's it going? I just wanted to get all that out of the way to begin the show.
I was wondering what that was.
What? That was a diatribe, man.
Is that, you're on a diet?
Please. My diet is I see it, I like it, I eat it.
Ah, it's a seafood diet.
No, I can't eat seafood.
No, you see food, you eat it.
I don't see food, though. I smell food, I say, give me some of that. And they say, okay. And then they give me some of that, and then I eat it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see food. Food sees me and says, ah!
I don't know about that.
Call me Matt Murdock. I'm blind. Wait, where's food? There's the food. How can you smell a guy with bad cologne three floors down? I don't know. That just doesn't sound right.
I know. There's still some of that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so but I still like it. It was good in the show.
Did you finish the series yet?
Oh, hell yeah. We talked about that last week.
Oh, okay. I don't make sure, because I don't remember you actually talking about the end.
Yes, we talked about what Kingpin did to Leyland, which is in the last episode.
Right.
That whole last episode is like, okay, that was like super speedy. Let's just get everything. Boom. Wow, you wrapped up. Matt Murdock, Daredevil, and crew, you guys went and cleaned up the whole city of whatever the hell city they're in. Oh, yeah. Hell's Kitchen.
Yes. And yes, that is a real place for those.
Yes, people. I know it's a real place. That's why it was situated there. It was meant to be an example of really, not so pleasant part of America. And that's why these particular types of heroes grew up, did their stuff, were born, had their whatever that they were working on there in that part of the world.
Exactly.
I mean, Daredevil, Iron Fist, Power Man, Jessica Jones, there's a couple of other Marvel heroes that began their life in Hell's Kitchen. And even Spider-Man has swung by a few times. I use the specific euphemism there. Specifically. To be specific. Because I'm a specific kind of guy.
Exactly. You know what opens this weekend, right?
What?
You know what's going to be in theaters this weekend, right?
Yes. It's The Bridesmaid 2.
How'd you know? I was hoping you weren't going to know that.
Why wouldn't I know that? That's like everybody's favorite movie, right?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I know Jack will be watching.
No, Jack actually hates Bridesmaids.
What?
Yeah, he does. He's not really a fan.
Ah, I can't believe it.
Oh, yeah. We have Far From the Maddening Crowd opening. Ooh, yeah. And Tangerines. The 100-year-old man who climbed out the window and disappeared. Who cares about that? Ooh, Hyena looks good.
Probably the 100-year-old man.
Wait, Furious 7 came out, what, last weekend?
Yeah. Was it last weekend?
No, I know what movie you're talking about. You're talking about Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2.
Damn. Yeah, that too.
Oh, there's a movie I am actually looking forward to, Ex Machina.
I didn't know that one was out due yet.
Yeah, it's out now.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'll watch that movie.
New.
Oh, you're probably talking about Avengers, though.
That's coming out this weekend? Nuh-uh.
I heard that it was coming out this weekend.
I think that's rumor.
I think it's all fallacy and felicitous, funky, fudgy type Ferdinads.
If it's got Nads involved, I don't want to know.
Everybody's got some. Don't you... Oh, what the hell is the song? Everybody wants some. I want some, too.
Yeah, everybody who's saying... they're just... No Nads, dude. No Nads.
Dude, everybody's got Nads. Even the girls got Nads.
Hmm.
They do. Everybody's got a Nad. At least one. More than likely, usually a few. But I don't think we're going to really talk about the Nads.
Yeah, I was like...
Because I don't know if anybody here would really understand all the full nature of I don't know what's the word I want to talk about. The nattiness of Nads.
Exactly.
So I think we'll skip all the Nad talk. And yes, I'm agreeing with Wardog about Fury Road. I totally want to see that in the theater.
Which one's Fury Road?
Mad Max.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah.
It's the coolest thing about that movie is you can watch the trailers as many times as you want. It still doesn't impact or take away from the movie because the basic concept of the movie is really simple. It's all in the trailers, all of the trailers that they've had. It's a chase movie. It's one scene, a constant, ever-flowing series of action-packed, over-the-top, collisions, crashes, car chase, people doing things in the desert in the post-apocalyptic world of Mad Max. It will be fantastically furious.
Now wait, isn't that opening this weekend too?
No, it's next weekend, is it?
I don't know.
No, it's not this weekend.
Oh, I know what it is. Mission Impossible opens this weekend.
Although, to give it true credit, the last Mission Impossible I actually didn't mind.
Well, I don't know if this one's going to be worth watching for the reason that... Oh, May 15th is when Mad Max comes out.
Correct.
This Mission Impossible might be worth watching only because J.J. Abrams has got his hands in it.
Who cares? He's a goofball.
Yeah. He dropped...
Dropped Star Trek.
Yeah, thank you. I was trying to think.
Not only did he drop Star Trek, he dropped some other stuff too, and it's like, yeah, whatever. It's not like it matters. I mean, J.J. Abrams is like, hey, lens flare! Bish. Okay. I mean, if you're most famous for known for doing one specific type of effect shot, lens flare! Like, dude, really? That's the thing you're most known for?
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, I mean, he's done good. He's done good stuff. I mean, I've seen some of the movies he does, and I like them, and I don't mind the lens flare shots because they're fine. But it's like being the movie Battleship, where Rhiannon is the best actress in the movie.
Yeah, no.
Okay, when you have a movie with all those brand name stars in it, and it's like Rhiannon is the best acting person in the movie, that's sad.
Yeah.
Now, I don't mind Rhiannon as an actress, but she's not an A-list actress. She's not up there. She's not top of the dog. She's not top of the heap or whatever. She's a perfectly fine actress and whatever and everything she does.
She's a singer. She's not an actress.
It's fine. You can sing. You can act. It's whatever. I mean,
that's why it's an. That's why if you're saying that the best actress in the whole movie was the singer.
Liam Neeson was in the freaking movie and he sucked. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but he was too busy worried about, you know, people taking stuff from him.
Yeah. No. You realize that movie was out before all the Taken movies, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, because the Taken movies propelled him back. Oh, hey, look, I'm popular again. It's like you did Battleship's like, man, you're not popular right now.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's kind of, it's kind of almost impossible to be popular with a movie like that.
No, they could have done a really good adaptation. I mean, any movie could do a really good thing based on even the stupidest possible concept. I mean, look at Mars Attacks. The movie was based on a trading cards.
But it was a good movie.
Huh? It was a great movie. It was stupid, it was funny, it was hilarious, it had great visual photography. The people that were involved in it are awesome. Every single person that I ever seen in that movie was fantastic at what they projected. I mean, the characters were not one-dimensional, except for the characters that were supposed to be one-dimensional, which is half of them, but that was why it was funny, because they were one-dimensional. Martin Short's character was hilarious. But that's my thing. Anything can make a good movie or a storyline based on whatever original premise that they want to pull out together. It can be done. The problem is, the people who made Battleship made Battleship.
Well, yeah, but I mean, then again, look at all these filmmakers and, you know, desperate to make something, just not the right thing. I mean, it's typical. This is typical Hollywood. You know that.
That's why I don't watch Hollywood as much. Hollywood, okay, I'm a big fan of what's called the Great Man Theory. This is applied to Alexander the Great and a few other people throughout history. They have conquered large sections of the world. Why? Because they were personally motivated and dedicated to the pursuit of that particular goal, whatever it was. They took that project through to the end. And it succeeded because they believed enough in it to get other people to believe in it with them, and everybody moved towards that same goal with the same amount of energy, with the same amount of application to intensity, and getting it done. Peter Jackson is a perfect example of some of the people in Hollywood that do a great job of what they're doing. He personally committed to Lord of the Rings. He personally wanted to make that project work. So that's how he made it work. Joss Whedon, the projects he gets into, he makes and puts his heart and soul into the projects he's working on so that he makes a product that he's happy with, that he's enjoying, and that he thinks the people who like his products will enjoy it too. So he knows what his market is, and he knows what he's doing, and he knows how to say, I'm putting this forward. Same thing with Long with, what's his name? I can't remember him. Pacific Rim?
Oh, yeah, you would ask me that without the notes in front of me.
Yes.
But yeah, I know who you're talking
him. About. Yeah. He's the same thing. Respect for him because... when he makes a movie, he puts a budget together, and he sticks to it.
Yeah.
Okay? He's one of those guys that's like, okay, it's going to cost me $100,000 to make this movie. All right, I'll make this movie. But then he does it for that $100,000. Guillermo del Toro. I don't know why I mind farted on that, but that's the thing. But he does. He gets into a project. He says, I want to do this project. I'm going to do it, and it's going to be done well. And you know what? We have a budget. Yes, we have a budget. Yes, we all agree this is the budget. We know that these are the things it's going to cost. Yes, okay, then let's do it. And he does it. Stanley Kubrick as well, same sort of thing. Personal dedication to getting the thing done. That's what gets a good Hollywood movie through. The schlock that they keep shoveling out nowadays... I'd say probably about 80% of the movies that come out from Hollywood are crap because it is cookie-cutter repeat, rehash, regurgitation of the same crap that's been put out that succeeded well enough to make a few bucks in the initial splash, that made a few bucks more in DVD sales, and then made even more money in, oh, I don't know, liquidation sales.
Hey, but it was liquid. Oh, liquid gold. Oh.
Yeah, right. But the thing is, I mean, the raw cost production to actually distribute product is now so much cheaper, but the cost to make the product is so much more expensive.
Well, see, and I think what they've done is they've turned things backwards with all that anyways, because, I mean, you know, I can say this from experience by going through trying to get my script turned into a film. You know, it's the same project over and over. I've talked with individuals. I've talked with people from the Heroes TV series. I've talked with people from the Saw movies. You know, I've talked with so many different individuals.
Oh, yeah. The guys who did the Saw movies, them too.
Well, I like them.
Well, no. They're crazy. They're weird mother truckers. Mm-hmm. But they believed strongly enough in the project that they were working on. They put it through. I mean, I think the first movie was, what, done on their own money or something like this?
Yeah, it was their own money, their own budget. And
they did it.
It just boosted from there.
But see, it was popular, it was successful because they believed in it. A lot of the indie movies, like the indie movies that are good, the B movies, the indie movies, all of these movies that are actually quite smart, well done, with good twists, good story, maybe not necessarily the best production values in the world, but the stories are more enjoyable because they make sense, they work, they're fine, they're fun, and they do what they're supposed to do. Scripts. I like scripts. Scripts are good. And that's the thing that really cheeses me. And see, now we've got me all worked up here, and I'm talking about this shit. This is one of my favorite topic of conversations to really get into, about how the difference between good creative material and piss-poor, mediocre crap is that dedication of the creator to enjoying what they're making as much as they are enjoying the response they get out of people. Oh, did you like my movie? Oh, yeah, I love that movie. Oh, I'm so happy. And that's the kind of shit that I think makes a good movie versus a bad movie. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, well, and I agree. I mean, for my part, what I've learned so far, you know, over the years I've been working on this, you know, I've talked to so many different production companies. I've talked with... Do you remember there was a game started on MySpace, moved over to Facebook, called, I think it was Mobsters? I don't know. You can tell how well I know what it is. I ever played it, but I mean, I think that was the name of it. They're actually making a movie of that.
Of course, why not?
And you know who's funding it?
Facebook.
Bingo.
Yeah, of course. Do you know? Okay, here's the thing. Newsflash. Facebook introduced new rules at the beginning of this year. They were limiting pages and the ability of people in their pages to be able to actually reach larger audiences. And in there, at the same time, they started actually removing likes and things on pages if they weren't reinforced by continuous engagement. Guess what I think they're going to announce within the next little while, probably in a year or so? Their own publishing arm.
Oh, no surprise.
The people who use Facebook the most to promote are indie artists for literary stuff, books, stuff, whatever, movie makers, people who have crafts to sell, people who have some project to create and push out. These are the people that have been using Facebook for free public... marketing, and they're realizing, hey, why don't we use their methods and do what they're doing, and then we can get money from them. Yeah, the reason we're all using Facebook to do this shit is because it's free. Right?
Yes, but then again, they're going to... If they go this route, and I would kind of figure this is why they're going this route. But if they go this route and they start doing these publishing and everything, you're going to start seeing their Facebook kind of slowly reverting back to its old way.
Nope.
Because I think so. Because
you're going to see Facebook die.
I don't know.
No, I'm serious. Because MySpace did the exact same freaking thing. They died.
MySpace still exists, and now
it still exists. Nowhere near as popular as it was before.
Because it's all about the music now.
It's all about music now. It's all about indie music, and that's fine. But it is nowhere near as strong or as social in charge as it was. MySpace was one of the first social media sites to hit huge. And then, bamf, they died and then rebirthed themselves. They actually went through, I can't remember how many people it was, but it was sold to one guy, then it was sold to another guy at liquidation, then it was sold to another guy at liquidation, and then this guy, the third guy, is the one that rebirthed it and rebranded it as a music marketing social media site. I don't like it right now because in order to run it, you have to actually download a program.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, you can't actually just run it as a...
TMV's on MySpace.
Yes, they might be, but...
And I listen to all their music and everything from there without having to download.
You can listen all you like without being it logged in.
Yeah.
But if I want to actually go into MySpace now and set up my profile again, I have to download a software that will try and identify who I am.
I have not had that.
Okay. It's been a while since I've been there. And I, like I said, when the last time I tried to get in there, it actually wanted to download a kernel program that would actually check who I was. And I said, fudge that.
Yeah, I would have said the same thing. But, I mean, I know who runs it now, and I really would be surprised he would even do that.
Doesn't matter. The whole MySpace experience is dead. People left it. People nowadays are even leaving Facebook. They're looking for so many different possible alternate
because
environments.
Because they want network marketing for what network marketing was all about. Facebook is far from that, and now people are like, yeah, I'll help promote you. Tag me in it. Then when you tag them, they're like, don't tag me in this stuff. What the hell you want? You want people to network market, but then you don't want it, you know, only to help you, I guess, is what it sounds like.
That is what's happening to Facebook. It is drawing out the, as Greg used to call them, the Amish, and it is killing them, or rather forcing them to try and find other alternate means. And what it's really bringing out are the nepotists.
Yeah,
and these are the people who are slowly clogging and plugging up Facebook all the time. It's like, I used to enjoy just coming to Facebook and reading completely random posts from all over the place. Now, I only see a small group of people who I have interacted with, and I only see their posts. But I want to see the random stuff. I love to see somebody's like, I haven't heard from you in 2 years. What did you just say? Wow, that's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that is... I think Facebook is shooting itself in the ass by doing this stuff. I think that they... should allow their own environment. And I get it. It's their environment. It's not mine. I don't pay to use it. I don't pay to have any part of it. However, my being there does contribute to their bottom line as much as everybody else is there. If we all suddenly left, Facebook, bam, no money. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah.
Twitter currently just announced their stock. Well, Twitter took a 20% nosedive on stock right now because they announced that they didn't meet their numbers for... expanding. And that's kind of the thing. There's a finite number of people in the world, a finite number of computers in the world. You can't keep expanding 40,000% over each year.
Well, and that's the thing. I don't know what... I mean, because I've heard people say, oh, go to... what is that thing now? It's not Pinterest, but it's something like that.
Pinterest.
No, it's something like that. There's another one
Instagram?
Like... No, I don't think it's Instagram.
Okay.
There's
actually a whole slew of different social media environments.
Yeah, but those are all about pictures.
Yes, there's actually more than one.
You can't,
Tumblr is one other.
I think it's Tumblr.
Yeah.
But
Tumblr's been around for a while. It's been around longer than Pinterest.
Right. But you can't communicate like you do on Facebook.
Well, no. Okay, you've seen some of my posts, right? Online, I can write like a half a novel as a post.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but more and more people are shying away from that. They don't read the whole post. More and more people are going, hey, look, Twitter, 140 characters. I can read that. Yeah, okay. As a comparative, because I look at this sort of thing, you post a picture, you're going to get more hits. You post pure text, great.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, and this is true. You get the same on Facebook. You know, I mean, if you post a picture, everybody's looking at it. But that's as far as it goes.
Well, see, that's why it's silly. But we're not here to discuss what Facebook does or does not do, right?
Exactly.
I don't care what Facebook does. I just have fun there. I don't have fun there as much as I used to because I don't. They got some technical problems going on now. It's been going on for a month or two. I can only be on like for half an hour at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it drags down to like, okay, let's wait 5 minutes to do a click. So I just log out and it's like, okay, I'll come back in a few minutes. Like, hey, look, we got speed again. I don't know. Does anybody else have that problem? Let me know. I'm curious. Yeah. I, however, think it is a good time now to throw that intermezzo button into upper drive.
Into upper drive?
Upper drive.
Well, not a hyper drive.
No, hover drive. I don't like hover drives.
No, hyper. Just, hyper.
Hyper drive. No, hyper. That's hyper, a whole different other thing.
Okay, here we go.
Been Black Sabbath, Turn Up the Night from the wonderful album Mob Rules, which was, well, the album, some of the songs was featured in a lovely movie called Heavy Metal. Actually, no, it was Heavy Metal Fact 2000, but we'll move along.
Okay, I have to say it.
Nope.
I know you haven't watched it.
You don't have to say it.
Even if you watch it, even if you watch it, it won't matter. Because you'll have watched the movie first. So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did their tie-in last night, and it was just Reyna saying her vision. Which, of course, she can say her vision because her vision is the preview.
The preview of Avengers?
Yes.
Okay. Dude,
when she starts describing it, I'm like, wait a second. That's the doggone preview of Avengers.
Cool.
So, yeah. So, but that was their, you know how they're supposed to do their tie-in. So I'm anxious to see what the next week's episode's going to be like, because it's going to be the tie-in after this. So,
well, it can't be as catastrophic a tie-in as whatever, because Hydra and Hail Hydra and S.H.I.E.L.D. and all that stuff in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was a much more massively impactful event than I would imagine Avengers Age of Ultron would be for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, but
from what I understand, they don't even show up. I mean, S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't even really show up in the movie.
Well, and that's what I understand too. But I know that, like, when Thor, the second movie of Thor came out, they all the damage and destruction was in there, but there was never any tie-in or talk about S.H.I.E.L.D. in that either.
Correct.
So, I mean, but then the episode that followed for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was cleaning up the mess. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, Marvel had the one comic book series which was called Damage Control, which was kind of amusing things. Like, okay, all the superheroes have done their stuff. It's like, well, now who cleans it up? Well, Damage Control does. And what do? Well, they have buttloads of money to throw at people to fix things. Oh, okay, and who's the lawyers? Hey, Matt Murdock, come on over and be a lawyer. Hey, yeah. Jen Walters, She-Hulk, come on over, be a lawyer.
We got little flashy lights that make you forget
your name. Yeah. But I saw a couple movies this weekend.
I did too, so we're on a roll here.
You know what? I think my movies are going to kill yours.
I got one that you're going to tease me about, but then after I tell you about it, you might actually go watch it.
Well, I have to say something there, because that requires a that. I saw a movie called Robot Overlords.
Ooh.
Do you know who's in Robot Overlords?
No.
Ben Kingsley.
Really?
And Gillian Anderson.
Uh-uh.
Oh, uh-huh.
No. I'm writing this one down.
You have to write this one down. And I don't know, is it Gillian or Gillian Anderson?
I think Gillian is how they actually...
Okay, Gillian Anderson. I'm sure there's a multiple pronunciation. And she speaks with an Irish brogue.
Yeah.
Not too thick.
Well, she doesn't... what is it? It's actually a BBC series, I think. Is what
that
it...
surprises me not.
Yeah. Robot Overlord, huh?
Robot Overlords. Hmm. Surprisingly good movie. It's definitely a B-movie. It is also This is a foreign movie for most people in America, because it is set somewhere just off the coast of Ireland or whatever. One of the production companies is called Isle of Man Productions, so I think part of it is also from the Isle of Man. And if you know where the Isle of Man is, it's kind of a wee whit to the north, and it's a small island.
Mm-hmm.
Not very big. You can do the whole island in like half a day. Zoom, right across. Really cool. I mean, I was surprised with the robots in this movie. They like, holy shit, that looks good. Yeah?
What?
Huh?
Are the robots CG or what?
Oh, the robots are totally CG. But there's bits and pieces where it's like, okay, they're interacting with models and stuff. But for the most part, yeah, it's all CG.
Lucky robots.
Yeah. Why? What?
Huh? Nothing?
Why? Because they get to play with Jillian?
Exactly.
Okay, well, Ben. Well, let's put it this way. Ben Kingsley is the bad guy.
And he does a good job at playing a bad guy.
He does a great job playing a bad guy. He is, oh, I'm your friend. I'm everybody's friend. Why am I a friend? Well, you see, I'm a collaborator. I joined the robots when they took over the world, and I'm just helping them so that I can make sure that my people here, the humans that I'm a part of, that they're taken care of. Find out later, he's actually working for the Robot Overlord so that he can save his own skinny ass. Surprise. The story was great. The ending is a little... Okay, that's a little schlocky way to wrap that up in like 10 minutes with that ending. But it's kind of the main premise of the movie, so it's understandable.
Right.
But yeah, no, I like it.
Cool.
It was a good, fun movie.
All right, what else?
And I saw another movie which is, just makes me laugh my butt off because it's one of those really, really stupid movies.
Shaun of the Dead 2?
No, not yet. That hasn't come out yet.
Damn.
Zombie World.
Didn't we talk about this one already?
Nope.
I could have sworn we did.
Nope, I haven't talked about this one because I saw this one for the very first time this weekend. It only came out this year. Like, both of these movies just came out this year that I could watch. Zombie World is... Do you know who Dread Central is?
Sounds familiar.
They're a website. They're originally a horror review website for, like, movies, TV shows, books, products, whatever. It's a big, it's a big review site, so whatever. But it looks like what they did is they put an open call out to get short zombie clips, short zombie flicks, like little short 5-minute, 10-minute movies or whatever from all over around the world. They had some from Canada, from the U.S., from Australia, Spain, Brazil, some odd, really odd places or whatever. And these people put together their short movie things. Some of them are really cool. One or two of them was like, well, I could see that that was going to be the whole husband and wife thing. It's like, oh, she's sad because he died and became a zombie and she's still alive surviving. Sad. And then another one was, the guys are just trying to survive. Then it was a whole first perspective view type thing where the one guy is, it's his visual thing. And it's like the movie follows that. And then it's like, okay, they die, he dies, they all die, everybody dies. And then in between it, there are a couple of these little PSAs. How to survive a zombie apocalypse. Well, in the event of the zombie apocalypse, if the infectation has reached a major city, there are really good odds that the government will will request and order a nuclear strike to sanitize the area. Don't go there.
Exactly.
Things like that. Things like that. It's like, yeah, that's exactly it. Two of the best clips in the movie, one at the beginning and the one at the end, made me howl. Oh, yeah, by the way, the whole interacting arc for the movie is that the one guy who's talking about, and let's go back to the very beginning of the zombie apocalypse, he's basically a newscaster, is going on, it's like, yeah, the apocalypse is breaking out, and he's been bit and is slowly becoming a zombie throughout the whole thing. Zombie Santa Claus at the beginning is awesome. But the first actual clip that I loved was Spanish Jesus killing zombies with a fish.
Okay.
All right. It's like, so they call, Lazarus's father, son, whatever, calls up to Jesus. Jesus, Lazarus is dead. He's dead. Oh my God, what am I going to do? And Jesus says, no problem. I'm the Son of God. We will go. These guys are going to hell, by the way. All of these people who did this movie, they're going to hell. I will fix this. And he goes over there and basically raises Lazarus from the dead. Oh, wait, small problem. Turned him into a zombie. So he's going around zombifying everybody. Blah, 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 blah. Zombie Romans, zombie Pharisees, zombie all of these other guys. And everybody's like, and even some zombie cowboys. Where the hell do zombie cowboys come from? I don't know. But they're in the movie. They're in the short, whatever. So it's like, okay. Jesus is like, Judas, we got to run away. Boom. They run away. Judas hangs himself, you know, because that's part of the whole Bible story. And Jesus looks around and is like, Judas, what happened? Oh, my gosh. Oh, I can save you. And he brings him back while he's hanging. I have saved him. Look, I brought him back to life. He dies again. He's hanging. What do you expect? So then he cuts him down and brings him back. Says, hey, look, we got to fight these evil zombie things. We're good. What do you have left to fight with? Judas pulls out, I got a fish. Jesus says, awesome! That'll do! Takes the fish, makes two fish. You know, so it's all these parodies of the stories in the Bible, whatever, but it's set against a backdrop of zombie apocalypse. And the Jesus kicking the ass of the zombies with fish. Yes, there's one scene where he's got a fish skeleton and he's just pulled it right out and he's using it like a saw. It just cuts the guys in. There is splatter all over this set. Oh my gosh. There's one scene where he just pops up out of a pile of carcasses of zombies. It's like, how many zombies are there? Probably about 2,000. So it's just funny shit. And then the very last one, I don't know where it is. I think it's from Brazil. But it's called Brutal Vacation. Yeah. So it's about this one guy who's like very intensely stressed out, and his doctor says, you should take a vacation. By the way, I'm using spoilers here. It's like, you're probably not going to watch the movie anyways, but that's okay. So take a vacation. So he says, do what normal people do. Go to the beach. Just relax. Watch people. So he does that. He's in his underwear. He's walking out on the beach. Got his suitcase. It's kind of really odd seeing the guy's intense face. I'm intense face. Arr! Goes and finds this puddle of mud. Plops down in the puddle of mud. And everybody's laughing at him. It's like, why is he in the puddle of mud just pushing this stuff all over himself? It's like, all right, he's weird. So they're doing the thing. Oh, look at all the pretty chicks doing the stuff. Oh, the guys are doing over there. Oh, the old people are over there. Da-da-da-da-da. Then, bam, mermen zombies come out of the ocean.
Oh, Lord.
Exactly. It's like, wow, mermen zombies. Awesome. Way to continue combining tropes. So mermen zombies come out to the beach, attack and kill everyone. Da-da-da-da. Stressful guy is like, I'm just enjoying this. Oh, watch all these people. Ah, mermen aren't bothering him. They don't really care because he's covered in mud. So he's got his Walkman going. He's got his tunes going. He's like, ah, I'm happy. I'm relaxed. I'm hoaxed. And then his Walkman stops. And then he's getting frustrated and all upset and being out of shape. He's like, my Walkman doesn't work. He doesn't say a single word throughout the entire thing. There's actually no dialogue in this particular short at all. The entire thing is just music background and then grunts and groans and people doing stuff. So then his Walkman doesn't work, and he's all like bent out of shape about it. He's like, ah. And what does he do? Ah, damn it. Gets up, starts killing all of the mermen zombies. Just rips their heads apart, strips them part in half, rips the one arm off the guy, and starts beating the crap out of the guy, punches his fist right through the other one, pulls out his heart, just totally annihilates all of them, and a few other innocent bystanders who get in his way. It's hilarious. It's just pure splatter stuff. I couldn't believe how funny it was.
I have to pause for a moment.
Uh-oh.
Because Jack pointed it out in the chat room. Robot Overlords is on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. That doesn't surprise me.
The whole movie.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Wow.
Yeah, good luck. Enjoy watching the movie, but wait until the show is over, then watch the freaking movie.
Yeah, definitely.
But yes, definitely watch the movie because it's actually really good. I was surprised. The production quality, story is very, it kind of borders on YA, young adult, for those people who are less attuned to the acronym language world. It's a fun movie. It's enjoyable.
Well, I've definitely got it on the list to watch this week.
Yeah, it was one of those movies like, okay, I don't have to watch, look away. I mean, Zombie World, I actually looked away a couple times to do some other stuff, but... Mm-hmm. Robot Overlords is like, yeah, okay, I'll just watch the whole movie, eat my potato chips while I'm watching. It's like, oh, it was a good movie, fun movie.
Well, I did keep my word.
Watched the movie.
I watched Rear Window, Alfred Hitchcock movie. And now the only thing about it is, if you read the cover, you know, it says there's this wicked twist at the end. I didn't get
a wicked twist for the '60s, bro.
I guess because I didn't see a twist, but
that movie was old.
Yeah. It wasn't bad. It was interesting, and it was like, personally, I think Hitchcock pulled like one of the lowest budget films he could put together and did one hell of a job doing it, because it's literally one set, just all right there.
Exactly. I mean, it's all set with him in his room.
Yeah,
in his wheelchair,
and it was perfect. I mean, Cameron never really went anywhere else. It's just like, wow.
Yeah, it's one of those mindfuck movies. It's like, mess with you, because like, you're going to expect this to go that way, and it's like, no, it's going to go this way. And we really want you to think that it's going to go that way then, and then, no, it's going to go this way.
Now, I did watch another movie.
What movie did you watch that you wanted to hint at me, and you just say, you're going to laugh at me? It's like, okay,
you're going to laugh at me.
Of course I am.
But then after I tell you about it, you probably are going to want to watch this. I watched Horns, one with Daniel Radcliffe.
I don't even know what it is.
Well, basically, it starts off, I guess, like kind of like a love story.
Wait, Daniel Radcliffe being Harry Potter?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it basically starts off as, I guess, the love story, how he fell in love with this girl. But the part that they don't explain until almost the end is how she died. She just died, and they're blaming him, and they're saying the whole town is freaking evil against him, including his own parents. And all of a sudden, he starts growing these horns and looking more demonic than anything else. And he
nice Canadian movie.
Yeah, it was actually good. But he starts getting these people to, you know, they see the horns, but they don't care. And they start admitting stuff and saying things that you normally just don't confess. And, you know, it's this power he has. But at this one point, somebody tries to kill him a couple of times. And, yeah, you just have to see what he turns into at the end. It's pretty wicked. But I was impressed. It wasn't, you know, the whole time I kept thinking I would get the Harry Potter vibe because, you know, some of these guys, they just can't shake their childhood acting. It didn't go that way. He really wasn't like that.
Oh, that's good. I mean, I have nothing against him for playing the Harry Potter role. I just never really was a big Harry Potter fan. And any actor worth their salt is going to have to grow past whatever it is that breaks them into the industry so that they can become something more than just, oh, look, he's Harry Potter.
You know? Yeah, well, you know, I think when it started, I so badly wanted to say, you're a wizard now, Harry. You know, so... but it didn't go that way. It really did go with this wicked twist. There was some very interesting twists and turns in this. And just when you think you have it figured out, you don't.
Uh-huh.
It was good. It'll keep you on the edge of your seat trying to figure out who the hell did it.
And I did it.
Yeah, it's the last person you expect.
It was Father Mold.
Damn, how'd you know?
Because I'm reading the IMDb list.
No, it's not the father.
Kendra Anderson?
You just have to watch.
Nurse Delilah. She's cute. Moving along.
I'm trying to remember which one Nurse Delilah was.
I don't know.
Now you're making me wonder.
She's an attractive brunette. Long hair.
No,
nice smile.
No, that's not a nurse. That would be... Okay, I know which one you're talking about. And they're calling her a nurse?
That's the name of the character, Nurse Delilah.
I was thinking you were talking about the waitress.
Waitress is probably... where'd you go?
Oh, is... Wait.
The waitress is probably Heather Graham.
No, I think
or
it
Kathleen,
was...
Or Juno Temple. Or Kelly Garner.
That's who I was thinking it might
be. Yeah, I wasn't talking about that.
No, Kelly. Oh, I know who Kelly is. Never mind. It's not Kelly. Yeah, I've seen this girl in other films. She's like almost white blonde hair. Damn. Where is she? I don't even see her in any IMDb credits. I'm going to go
full. Sure she is. She's right here. I pulled up the horns one. That picture. I've seen that picture before. Kelly Garner has done a whole bunch of crap.
Yeah, but this girl's...
G-Force? Oh, she was one of the stupid talking gerbils. Dagnabbit. I don't know any of these movies.
Find the waitress.
Oh, she was in the Buffy movie series.
Yeah, well, you know.
For one episode.
A lot of these people did different stuff. I didn't realize who they were right away. I mean, it was like I recognized their face. Oh, I've seen you in something before, you know. But this... Not this way. This time it was different.
Well, different is good. Variety is the spice of death.
Yeah. Yeah.
And afterlife. Arr! And after rot!
And that's what it is. No.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it is.
So is that the only movies you watched?
Heather Graham. That's who the...
Heather Graham.
You did, but it didn't... She was... From the picture, she was redhead. In the movie, she
Ketsu. She changes her hair like dropping... fingernails.
Yeah, she changes her hair like her drawers.
I don't know. She's never changed her drawers in front of me.
You what? Oh, you haven't been watching her that much. Oh, yeah, there's a couple of movies she does. Oh, by the way, if you're wondering, yes, there is a lot of TNA and sex in this.
Well, of course there is. That was the whole thing about him being in this movie. I heard something about that now that I know what the picture was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll watch it eventually. I don't want to see his butt naked ass squirreling around out in the front end of rivers. Like, no.
Well, the one scene that they show him in, it's more of... whoever the director was really smart because it was more focused on the girl's body and, you know, him up pressed up against her.
Alexandra Aja.
Bless you.
Is the director. Oh, he looks, oh, he's French. He's from France. He's done the, he did The Hills Have Eyes?
Mm-hmm.
The remake?
Was it the remake? Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was the remake.
He would do the remake, yeah.
He did Piranha 3D? Oh, no, he was a producer, okay.
Your favorite movie.
Oh, no, 3DD was the favorite movie.
Oh, it was Double D, okay.
Piranha 3D was okay. Space Adventure. Oh, okay, that's not out. All right, cool. It's got some cool stuff. I can dig it.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
It's at least worth watching once. Then you can draw your conclusion at the end.
I'm sure I'll eventually see it sometime. It'll be in the $5 bin. Yeah, okay, I'll watch that.
Yeah, I when did it come out? I think it came out.
It came out last year. No, 2013.
Yeah, 20. Yeah, okay.
Oh wait, today is 2015. People. This movie is almost 2 years old.
Almost.
Oh, no, October 2014. May almost. 2013, October's so it looks...
October's coming out.
actually, War Dog, no, I don't like poutine.
Bless you.
Poutine is a Canadian dish.
Oh.
It's French fries, gravy, and cheese curds. I don't like cheese curds. And most of the gravy they put in poutine is like poopy. So I don't like it. I like fries with malt vinegar. If you're going to do fries, malt vinegar. It's the only way to go. So.
I'm not going there.
That's okay. So, some comic stuff.
Comic. Oh, yes. It's Wednesday.
Yes. It's always Wednesday. This is the show. It's on Wednesday. Wednesday, 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 and more Wednesday. So, Secret Wars, Marvel's big spindangle, starts next month. They killed all of their universes and have recreated new universes. So the special preview thing has come out. Some of these look really cool. Some of those look really dumb. So we're going to have to wait and see, because I like some of the ideas that they got going there, but I don't know what's going on. And the good thing I'm happy to see in the catalog that came out this week as well, is that DC's Convergence, done! Thank God, it's a piece of crap. I can't stand Convergence.
Right. Let me ask you this question, though. I mean, you get the catalog, so you get to see these before they come out. Do you get to see the covers, too, before they're released?
Yeah.
Oh, so you know covers before anyone else does.
No, I mean, they come out. I mean, this is something that's available to all the comic book stores. It's part of the way comic book stores work nowadays. There's this pre-order catalog called Previews from Diamond Comics, and what happens is, if you're interested in stuff, you look through the catalog, you say, yeah, I want this, this, and this. And then as the store owners, or whatever, will just order based on whatever's in the catalog.
Gotcha.
It's a whole pre-order system. So you go online and say, I want to buy this, this, and this. It's like, oh, it's coming out in 2 months. Oh, crap. They're buying it from the same place.
Hmm. So, you know, all these ones that you're getting, you're like, oh, I got three covers. So you knew the covers before you got them.
Well, yeah. Now, you don't necessarily get to see all the covers in the book. There are sometimes covers, it's like, they just say, then check with your retailer for special covers. And then they don't show you the pictures, and it's like, oh, look at that one. That one's cool.
Gotcha.
But the big problem is the comic book industry nowadays is not like it used to be. There used to be some real value. Uh-huh. Nowadays, a lot of the value is artificial. And I was looking through it, it just came out. I was like, hey, yeah, look, DC's finally got rid of the stupid variant cover theme. And then deeper in, it's like, no, they put another variant cover theme in this month, too. Like, the one theme that they had, like, there's been two or three of the last 8 months themes that I liked. Like, the movie cover theme that they had for this month, they did some really wicked, cool, awesome covers, okay?
Right.
This week, what do we get? We got Batman with the Joker and doing the cover from the movie The Mask, which actually looks really well done as the Joker, as the Mask. It's awesome. What was the other one there? One of my favorite ones was the Wizard of... sorry, not Wizard of Odd. Alice in Wonderland cover that came out for the one... book, I can't remember which one. I don't really like the comics that they were in. like the actual stories of the comics were kind of like mediocre. Oh yeah, here we go. Superman as Superfly.
Oh, that one would be interesting.
That's just funny. I love this cover. It's like, I don't care about the comic. The cover is freaking awesome. But see, I would want all of the covers. Batgirl was Purple Rain. Green Lantern was Forbidden Planet.
Okay.
It's awesome cover artwork. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's that particular theme is like, I could care less about the stories of any of these books. I just love that cover art. In a previous one, they did some lenticular covers. They were pretty good. They had some, for some strange, surprising reason, they actually went up in value. There was some demand for it. The Harley Quinn covers, like each book, there was like out of the 52 books that they release, 23 of them or whatever have a variant cover. And when it's a themed cover like Harley Quinn, so it's a same cover, but it's different artwork with Harley Quinn in it. And she has absolutely nothing to do with the story. So next month's books that start coming out have all the Joker variants. Which you heard about the controversy on the one for Batgirl.
Right, right.
It was like, that was lame. Most of the covers are okay. I like the artwork on most of them, but it's like, really? Why try and trick people into buying the comic book just because it has a Joker cover? Joker's not in the book. He's in one book, or two books, maybe, out of all the 52 books that come out.
Yeah, but a lot of people are like that, is just wanting to collect just for whatever the cover is.
That's what I'm saying, it's an artificial thing that makes a... It creates the impression of value when the real value is not actually there.
Mm-hmm.
So in the short term, yeah, all of a sudden this book is worth $20. Or whatever, because you can't get anywhere else, and the only one who's got one available, he's selling it for $20, and you got to have it. It's like, crap, I got to have that book. Here's my $20. Mm-hmm. 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 3 weeks later, book is still worth back to $10 because nobody actually really wanted it. They just thought that the hype was going to be so much. They picked it all up, and then it's like, the hype's not there. You know what I mean? So that's why I'm saying it's an artificial way to inflate value, and it's like, I don't think it's really that good. When they do really good ones, like I said, the movie themed ones, those ones are awesome. There's thought behind that. There's like, take a theme, take a concept. Now, artist guy, go make some artwork with this story idea. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure with Action Comics with Superman and Doomsday.
Mm-hmm.
That shit was funny. Comic book sucked, but the artwork on the cover was awesome.
Right.
So. I mean, that's what I'm saying, and I like that. So I just throwing that out there. But I don't like what they've done recently with Convergence. I've been reading the main storyline, and I've read one or two of the side stories. It's like, these are boring.
Yeah, I don't think they've... I mean, I think one of their problems with these now is they're just losing their touch to the stories.
Well, I don't know. It's a really weird thing, because every once in a while, they come up with something that's actually pretty good. The DC Arkham Asylum, that was some good stuff. Injustice Gods Among Us, that is an awesome series from DC, and it's got all their core characters, just it takes them and turns them around a little bit. It's really well done, and I'm surprised that it's actually been going on for 3 years. It's up to about 30 some odd issues now. It's not affected by Convergence or the New 52 or any of this other crap, but when they go into these weird, let's make it a mega conflict, cons crossover, and it's like, no, make a comic book about the character and about the story that they want to play. That's what people want to read. They don't want to collect 30 different issues just to get the same thing when all they're going to read is just that one issue or two issues. It's annoying.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
That's all my words that I want to throw out. Thor with tits. Yeah, go way to go with that, Keenan.
Yeah, you just haven't said it at all this week yet, so there you go.
Well, I don't say it as much anymore because the Thor story with tits is starting to get actually interesting.
Uh-oh.
You know? I mean, the original story is like, okay, you guys are creating this whole sense of mystery and it's artificial. You're going to have this big reveal and it's like, really? It's Mary Jane Watson? What? Or somebody really stupid and it's like, we don't even know who this person is. How is it that they become... Dude, no. It's just wrong. Silly. What the hell? You know, it's going to be one of those because that's what Marvel does with storylines like that. They create intense interest in something, whether good or bad, and then they just let it fizzle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, ah, it's annoying. But then they have short-run miniseries that are actually pretty cool. But I just noticed that we are almost at the end of the show.
Yes, sir.
And I just wanted to say thank you, everybody, for listening to me and being part of our wonderful show, coming in the chat room, listening in the stream, coming into the Facebooks, on the Twitters, and all this other stuff. Feel free to come back many, 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 many more times. Catch the reruns on teamzombie.com/A/R, whatever. I post the links all the time. Get the Facebook, facebook.com/afterrot. Yay. Feel free to follow me, buy my book, Separate and Succinct, Disparate and Distinct, Horror Poetry, because it's just messy up. And all that other fun stuff. By all means, keep coming back again every Wednesday, 9 p.m. on this show, TMV Cafe, After Rot. Woo!
Do it.
Do it.
Oh, that must be my cue.
Yes.
Of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have their picnic.